Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the question is too much screen time bad for our eyes? Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Isabel Gelbert, who's an optometrist and with New South Wales University. On the line, Professor Isabel, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. We've got school starting up very soon across the country, and we're talking about, mainly kids and talking about screen time. A lot of kids are on phones or iPads and what have you. And let's talk about your findings in regard to your research. Is too much screen time bad for our eyes?
So it's really important, I agree, really important to talk to that with kids about to go back to school. So we've done some studies looking at the really short-term impact of screen viewing. So we got kids to play on their smartphone for an hour, had no trouble finding volunteers for that.
Yes.
We could really confirm that we get an increase in the report of symptoms of tiredness and dryness and discomfort, but also the rate at which children blink was immediately reduced after a minute. So we have concerns about the long-term impacts of, you know, viewing smartphone over years of use. And really other studies have confirmed the link between screen viewing and the development of short-sightedness, so myopia. And it's probably really timely to remind parents of that at this time of year with the school year about to start. So that's an indirect link between screen viewing and short-sightedness. The studies are showing that it's probably the lack of outdoor time that matters the most. Not focusing in the distance enough. So really going outdoors, not being focused at near and being exposed to sunlight appears to be very protective against developing short-sightedness. So really important to remind parents of that at this time of year.
Sure. So I'm just trying to ascertain the visual side of things in regard to when you're looking at a large TV watching The Wiggles, for example, then you go to a laptop or then you go to an iPad and then you go to a phone, like an iPhone. As the screen gets smaller, is it more strained for the pupil of the eyes virtually to watch shows and what have you, to watch the screen?
So we think, I think the evidence is still emerging, but we think that the closer you are to the screen, it's likely to be worse or have more risk. So, yes, I think, a computer screen, probably a little bit less impact than, say, a phone, which you can bring closer to your face. So if you can, make sure that your children don't hold their screen too close.
Okay.
That's really good.
Sure.
But there are some recommendations that if that can be targeted or for parents to try to follow in terms of how many hours per day and how frequently to take breaks that are really helpful to remember, I think. Happy to go through those.
Sure. Oh, we are in the 21st century. We're talking about 2024, and iPhones and what have you will always be with us now. So there's ways that we can prevent eye problems, as you mentioned, bigger screens or less time. Or we need to do a bit as parents as well, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. So try to limit the amount of hours that children spend on screens every day is a good thing. So the recommendation from the WHO, the World Health Organization, is that no screens before the age of two. Yes, okay to your occasional phone call with parents and grandparents, but no video screens before 2. Mm-hmm. And then before they start school, try to limit to no more than an hour a day.
Okay.
And once they start school, no more than 2 hours outside of school hours. Unfortunately, when researchers look and measure how much screen viewing children are doing, they often exceed those guidelines.
Yes.
So a lot of children will actually do more than those recommendations. So it's, I think it's timely to remind ourselves of that as parents, you know, try to limit it, try to encourage children going outside and not being on their screens all the time.
All right. So it's about us doing our bits as parents and simplify it all by having a so-called a roster or duration of screen time. But thank you very much for your conversation. It's so very important. And we need to act upon it and looking after our young ones and their eyesights. But thank you very much, Professor Isabel. All the best to you.
It's a pleasure.
You take care, and we'll yarn soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn there with Professor Isabel Gelbert, her name is, optometrist from New South Wales University, and talking about, well, the question is, too much screen time, bad for our eyes. And it's looking that way inclined, pardon the pun, but yeah, after the report has found, too many of our young ones are on screens, and we've talked about iPhones or iPads even. The smaller the screen, then the more strain it is on the eyesight. So we need to look at that, and we need to police it in regards to us being parents for our young ones, especially coming up to school time. Let's need to cut back on our time. So no more than an hour, and anyone underneath 2 years old shouldn't be on the screen. So there it is, only FaceTime with the grandparents, with the akas and ates. That's what it's all about, all their bubbles. But have you saying Yana Strong, out of the conversation here, National Talk Black, deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Walking down a net bag road one night, heard someone talking. Man, I nearly died of fright. Out of the darkness came a stranger's hand. It was a wild Kentucky man. Just leave me alone. I'm out of petrol and I was just on my way home. I didn't worry about the prickles in the sand when I was chased by Walker Dutchy Maine.
Hey, what'd you Good on your mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program, Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I got the walking train blues, steady, steady is the best I can do. Walking frame blues, steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
My dancing days are over, but that's all right. I hardly ever stay up late at night.
No need to boogie and no need to waltz. Seems my legs have got some serious faults.
So I don't twist.
Getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
It's got four wheels of fire and a cushy seat. Just enough room for me and my feet.
Because
I got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
No need to rush. I don't care if I'm late. No hurry up to the pearly gates.
Me and Mr. Zimmer, we're the best of bodies when the evening ends.
So it's early to bed and early to rise. Just getting round is an old man's prize.
Got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
I got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Stay up late at night.
So I don't twist, I don't shout.
Just getting there is what it's all about.
I got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking frame blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Man with a red walking frame.
Yes, my girl. Goes faster than a blue one.
Can't we go now? If we leave now, we'll get there by dawn.
Steady, steady, my girl. We'll get there.
Steady, steady. Slowly, slowly. Oh.
Which way you feel?
Oh, I saw you now. Can't we, mother, sit down? Oh.
Got the walking frame. Steady, steady is the best I can.
Black boy,
black boy,
black boy,
black boy.
Yeah, Two Deli Mob, that's our Black Boy, Coloured Stone, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 90.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page or BBM 987 FM. All the news, all the yarning up strong here, so do that, Jim Mob. Let's look at the news regarding what's happening in our space. News.com here. Woolworths offers to fly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags. Woolworths offices will display Indigenous flags in support of reconciliation as the company faces backlash over its Australia Day decision. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags will be displayed at Woolworths support offices as part of the company's commitment to reconciliation. The supermarket chain has faced backlash in recent weeks after it announced it would no longer stock Australia Day merchandise, citing a gradual decline in demand for the products. We know many people like to use this day as a time to get together, and we offer a huge variety of products to help customers mark the day as they choose, a spokesperson said at the time. It has now been revealed locations that already display the Australian flag will also show the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags outside their stores, sites and support offices where practicable. According to the company's Reconciliation Action Plan, we don't plan to add flags outside our supermarkets, our Woolworths Group spokesperson said. The location deemed practicable are those where the Australian flag is already flown. The three flags will be flown together at these select sites, just as they are in countless other locations, from primary schools to businesses and other institutions. Woolworths, which launched its plan in May 2023 as one of many Australian companies to create such documents in the belief that our actions will make a meaningful contribution towards reconciliation and closing the gap. The plan was not launched in relation to the Supermarkets Australia Day decision. The rollout of the flags is due to reviewed throughout this year. Woolworths head office already display Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags outside its buildings along with the Australian flag. It comes as the ire of the Australian Day decision is met with accusations of hypocrisy, as many of the supermarket outlets are offering food specials over the long weekend. Great value for the Australian Day long weekend, the specials website reads. The supermarket hit back against critics, arguing it offered food and produce specials for all occasions. Customers across all our stores can also expect to see a large range of great value value food offers and specials to enjoy with family and friends next week in the lead up to and for the Australian Day long weekend, a spokesperson said. So that's the space there regarding Woolworths and regarding the flags of our First Nation people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags. A great win there. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
For the cause, I got them flags high and the radio on pause. They caught me on the rise, the rock standing tall. I hail from TSI, golden mic from the north. Heard them in the streets, they vibe a different beat. I talk of revolution and it's scary when we speak. With blood upon this red dirt, its vein is running deep. And now the beds are burning and they should get to sleep. A song of redemption, I came to wake the free. 500,000 strong marching to a single beat. And the drum rolls, the drum roll is mean. A battle chant to dance a warrior's theme. We take it to the streets, rounding up the fleets. Until the people free, there can never be no peace. This a pro-black renaissance, lost languages are kings. I and I battling to win and the horns go.
When music is freedom, a new life unfolds. In the book of the teacher, a
Here's my ancestors from this desert landscape. Brother and sister, I still love you. for the indigenous, the lyricist, the spiritist.
Here's my ancestors from this desert landscape.
Brother and sister, I still love you.
Them convict ships come sailing in, crooks galore, criminal minds hit the shore, guns go bang and their bodies hit the floor. Invaded, taken, raping, killed, slaved, chained, oppressed, still we survivors. Yeah, hear that, we're survivors. Check it, we came from sacred places to racist times. Australia, it's time to recognize we're survivors. Yeah, hear that, we're survivors. Yeah, they'd rather compensate us than give us recognition. In other words, they'd rather buy you out of your tradition. Cause when you recognize, that's how your culture survives. Many millenniums and thousands of tribes.
And that's how it is, Australia. All we're looking for is a bit of recognition. And that's by working together as one and acknowledging the past history and moving forward. It starts at home with us around the dining table, how we teach our kids the next generation. It's all about understanding one's culture and being respectful of one's feelings. And together with that, we can move forward and have a positive Australia. We might have had a dark history, but best believe we've got a bright future.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, you all saw me that song, Tabba Nabba. That's Jesse Lloyd here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor. You?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. What's happening? How are you travelling?
I have no concerns. I'm very cross.
Yes.
I was happy to hear from Selwyn yesterday. I've got a couple of notes here. Mm. He mentioned the Irish.
Yes.
Been heard down at the in front of Parliament House year 2000 for 100 days. We was in front of there when we created the tank embassy, which was the old truck with a didgeridoo, like looking like a gun on the bonnet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like St. Patrick's Day, and the Irish were there with a big flag, their flag green and orange.
They're virtually in the same boat as us, First Nation, aren't they?
Well, they came, yeah, mate. They're exactly the same with the British, and you know. I'm born there. Obviously, yes. I'm sort of Australian now, no matter what bit of paper says. And, yeah, they come and drape their flag all over the front of the troopy, and we had a big Murray flag up, so them two flags were flying there.
Flying high.
Yeah, we, you know, we all had a good yarn. And anyway, there's nothing. But it's good to hear from Selwyn again.
Yeah. It was his first call for 2024, so, yeah, great to hear from him.
I think we've got a good thing going.
I think so too.
I want to mention John Pilger, the journalist that passed away. You know about John Pilger?
No. Enlighten us, please.
He made a lot of documentaries. He's an Australian. He ended up living in England, and he did a lot of documentaries on genocide, the song that played, and just everything and what's happening here. But anyway, you can look up John Pilger. He made some amazing documentaries, Sticking Up for Murrays, and a really full-on journalist, truth-teller, and maybe had to live in England and go into exile because the mates wouldn't like him, what he says. And we've got genocidal things happening in Gordonville with the native title, no one can live there. And it's genocide is described as aiming at the destruction of the group, the tribe.
Yes.
You know, I'm talking about True Blue Girls Revenge up there. And we all live in Gordonville. And part of that oppression is still the closure of the river for us, which is like the lifeblood of the land of the tribe. It's a thing, you know?
Yeah, well, the blood of the land, so to speak, of the river. how the river is the best destroyed.
Yeah, it's the living thing, the earth, yes. You know, and the rivers flow. I found out a little bit more about the river. I'll do the cemetery another day. That is my main concern, but sure. I'm still, because there's news of the river, I've heard that water development isn't all going to Cairns, and they're building a big water tank up on the top of Draper Road somewhere in Gouldenvale. But we don't know precisely where they're going to extract that water from. But I've heard that a lot of that water is destined to go to down Aloomba Way, which is Brett Mollard's home area. He's got a house on the river there. He's got what he denies everybody else. Talk about hypocrisy. But development down there, because a lot of those cane farms and 99-year leases up, and they can develop there too. Now the highway's gone through. You understand the plan?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk going on. I've been around town and I can't put flyers up because it's so wet. Everybody in this town agrees. No one criticises standing up for the river, but people don't want to get involved, you know, and it's the wet season and stuff. But putting any pipeline in to extract any water is like the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah, but there's also got to be communication with the constituents. And it feels like that isn't happening. That's right. We're in the dark, aren't we?
That's right, mate. We're on the black side of the fence, and so are all the white people too in this town. I'm talking for the community, you know. I mean, we're all locked in houses. Here's the point, you know, you go to Cairns here, they've got the lagoon, they've got their esplanade. Well, we had the river, same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. This is the point. We don't have any. I'm in a house. I can't go down the park. They've destroyed the green patch. They've destroyed it, mate. And the riverbed, it's just like Muller, there's a little newspaper out here called Pyramid Views. Brett Muller has an ad in it, and it says, initiatives delivered, green patch transformed into RV park, recreational vehicle park. And it's supposed to be the traveller's rest. It's supposed to be our rest area.
Yeah, but on the business side of things too, it defeats the caravan parks. I mean, the people miss out having those camper vans at caravan parks, and how they make a living in the tourist industry.
Yeah, well, they're turning cultural places into businesses. One other thing with the pipeline, I see the thing up in the Tiwi with that pipeline.
Yeah, gas pipeline's been, they've got their permission to do so now. And they've won their court case with the Tiwi Island traditional owners. And it's a no-go for the Tiwi Islanders, but a yes thumbs up for the gas line, pipeline to go through.
Sad. Yeah, it's a pipeline. Well, I've listened to it all and I've heard it all. But one of the things they don't say, one of the things they probably also fear, is the invasion of people onto their country.
Yes.
Yeah, see, so if we have this pipeline here in the river or whatever they're doing, it just shouldn't be, mate.
Exactly, yep.
They should leave this river alone. That's World Heritage upstream. Yeah, the river's flowing now. But they shouldn't touch this river. This belonged to Murray, Udinji. I know they've got government and everything in town, but out here we're sort of on the edge of the world, you know, and we don't know what they're doing. I've heard that the company involved with the pipeline is John Holland.
Don't know John Holland? Don't know John Holland?
No, it's a big company, mate.
Okay, righty-o. Is he the CEO?
No, that's the name of the company.
Oh, okay, John Holland's named the company. Okay, yes, gotcha.
All right, I'm giving out as much information as I can, and... Agent Gibbs is delivering what I can.
Yep.
And that's it, mate. And this...
I guess.
I'm trying to be happy, but...
Yes.
But I'm depressed from the show, and I can't get on to 4CA. They won't answer anymore. They had me chalked in to talk, but they won't talk to me because they don't like the truth. The truth hurts.
Oil always rises to the top. Pardon the punt.
Yeah, mate, it hurts their pockets and it's damaging our souls. We have no escape from house, and they complain about all kind of kids running around going to mock, black and white, whatever. They complain about we can't go down the river.
Exactly.
They don't have to be walking around the street. This is it. They've shut How would they like it if they shut the Esplanade and the Lagoon?
Yep.
How would they like it if they closed the beach? We're in Gordonville.
There'd be marches across the Barron River because of that, if that happened.
Sorry?
There'd be marches across the Barron River if that happened, if they closed the Esplanade. I hear what you're saying, but yes.
You were only a few people out here in Gordonville, and Cairns has taken us over and goes down as far as Babinda Boulders. I've heard their rest area down there at Babinda is open and travellers are going there. I try and direct people to safe places. I don't go down there too much. I don't like getting caught on my own too much for security reasons after dark.
Yep, exactly. So
the Green, all they have to do is cut the lock on the gate, and that helps. There's a lot of refugees on the road that need that rest area, and that's our social area too. It is our, it's part of our town, not the park in town where there's a pub on every corner and stuff and noise and the sound of the sugar mill in the background.
Mm.
We want to go down the river. We want some freedom. And that this council needs to be sacked by this government with what they've done with the cemetery, what they're doing here.
This government. Hearing you, Tony, I've got to move on, my brother, but thank you for your call.
Thank you for today. Look up John Pilger, mate.
John Pilger. Will do, Tony. Okay. Thanks, mate. Tony Gibbs there, having his say. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Now, new grant launches to champion health equity for Indigenous communities. In 2022, rates for hepatitis C notification were 7 times greater among the Indigenous population compared to non-Indigenous population. Additionally, the HIV notification rate for Indigenous Australians was 1.3 times the rate then among non-Indigenous Australians. To improve health equity for Indigenous Australians, a new grant for community organisations to launching co-creative by Gillard Science, Lewitcher Institute and Poche Centre for Indigenous Health. With our on the catch of a yarn, ever James Ward, Director of Poche Centre for Indigenous Health. And on the line, we've got James. James, good morning. How are you? Hello, James? No, James. James, there. You there, James? Hello, James? James, no, not James. James is not there. We'll try and get James back. James Ward, his name is, Director of Poche Centre for Indigenous Health. And we're talking about Gilead Science, Lewitcher Institute and Poche Centre for Indigenous Health are uniting to develop the GLOWS Indigenous Health Program grant, committed to putting the research back into Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander community hands. The program represents Gilead Science's largest ever commitment to health equity for Indigenous communities, with a total of $6 million US dollars invested in Australia and Canada over 3 years. So with that, we'll just try with if we've got James there. James, you there? Good morning. Hello, James. No, James is not there. I've got some technical problems happening here with the phones. We'll try and get James online and just talk about that space. And look, a good investment when we're talking about Indigenous health. We're talking about closing gaps. We're singing that song again, closing gaps. Gaps are all over the place in regard to all facets of life, but we need to change that. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416.
Asleep by Billabong, but he's aware through and through. He is the law of God for all Coloracans. See the glow on the lilies, brighter than the city lights. Songs of birds make me shiver. Songs for
welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. We're just going to catch up with James Ward, Director of Poche Centre for Indigenous Health, and talk about new grant launches to champion health equity for Indigenous communities. On the line, James. Good morning, James. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thanks,
good,
yeah.
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the program. Where are you based, James?
In Brisbane.
In Brisbane. All right. I'm in here in Cairns, Far North Queensland. So we're talking about Well, what are Gilead Science, Lewitcher Institute and Pote Centre for Indigenous Health launching?
Yeah, so yesterday we launched a very exciting program to enable local communities to drive local initiatives around viral hepatitis, that is hepatitis B and C and HIV. It's a $4.4 million program for Australia, and there's a similar program happening in Canada for First Nations populations over there. It's really to address this long-standing issue we have about viral hepatitis and HIV in our communities that we're not winning the game with.
Exactly. Well, when we talk gaps are happening, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, we've got a higher rate of diagnoses in the whole population compared to the non-Aboriginal population. And we've got about seven times the rate of diagnoses of hepatitis C, and we've got a very big overrepresentation of our mob with hepatitis B. And so we've got all the science to try and manage these infections very well. We've got the science to eliminate HIV now. We can't cure it properly, but we can eliminate it. And we've got the science to eliminate hepatitis C.
Yes.
But what we don't have is local people driving local solutions to meet their local mob's needs. And that's what this program is about. It's about strength-based approaches that will enable communities who have an interest in these areas to drive their own solutions, and because we know our mob will drive the better responses.
Well, exactly. Now, Professor James, can you expand a little more on health inequity in Australia?
Yeah, so I guess there's, you know, overall the health status of our mob is not as good as the rest of the population, and that's because of a whole range of issues, but, you know, social issues, cultural issues, structural issues, things like racism that impact our mob's ability to access health services. And so hopefully with this program here, we'll get Aboriginal community control services and Aboriginal people leading these projects over the next little while to drive changes. And that inequity has been there for too long. We just accept it. It's now time to change the discourse with this program of activities for communities all over the country.
Brother Professor James, what do you hope the ongoing impact of the initiative will be?
Yeah, look, if there are some really good demonstration projects, there's some really good outcomes with these projects, they'll be lessons for other communities to adopt.
Yes.
That's one thing. I think building the capability of people through this program of research, there are some research training scholarships, for instance, in this program of funding. What we recognised during COVID, and it's, there's a shortage of Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people to drive infectious disease programs in the country. And so hopefully this will build some capabilities around infectious disease control, surveillance, management. So in the future, we've got much more able people on the ground to drive responses, and particularly for them to step up at the national level where they're sitting on all these government committees that make all decisions about our mob.
Well, exactly. We're going to be at the table, front and centre. Professor James, brother, just talk about Professor Orv, your position there, please.
Yeah, so I'm the director of the UQ Post Centre, the University of Queensland Post Centre. We're at a research centre covering a whole range of issues, including urban Indigenous health, infectious disease, sleep programs, and what we all try and do is try and we're working with communities to drive improved outcomes in communities through research and all of those critical things that I said before, building capabilities within communities while we go along with our research. So yeah, we've got a broad remit and around 50 staff working at the centre and a lot of PhD students coming through.
Good.
70% of our PhD students are Aboriginal, and so...
Well, you can't be black on black, can't you, Professor?
That's right, absolutely. You know,
very important. Where can Australians go to apply?
The Lowitcher Institute, our peak Aboriginal community-controlled health research organisation. The applications are not open yet, but they will open before March this year. And so really start to get, and my advice is if you're working in the space, you're really interested in the space, get some ideas up and running.
Yes.
And get ready for the application process to when it opens.
Professor James, my brother, thank you for the yarn. All the best. Big shout out to all the mob there at Poach Centre for Indigenous Health at the University of Queensland. And we will talk soon, brother.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. Two Deadly, beautiful yarn there. That's Professor James Ward, Director of Poach Centre for Indigenous Health, and talking about new grant launches to champion health equity for Indigenous communities. The applications are not open at the moment, but look, watch this space. And money's a tool. So put in the application, get the money, and use that tool to help our mob close gaps. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? Well, in actual fact, it's come to the time where Trendy Trev signs off for today's program. Thank you for your company. The first week back for 2024 National Talk Black. Here we are, 2024 January, and thank you very much for your company, and we'll keep our yarns going strong throughout the year. And you can add to the conversation, you can send a text as well, 0457140550, or our Facebook page, BBM987FM, otherwise that deadly number 1-800-422-416. Big shout out to the NERS team, NERS based down there at Brisbane at the Beamer office, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association. Big shout out to the team there as well. And all our First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, Deadly Black Network, and keeping all our music yarns going strong. But otherwise, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly.
Every second, yes, every minute of my time.